Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, everybody okay today? Everybody's having a good day, praise the Lord. We've had a good week this week, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, Sharon was out of town on vacation this week, and so Cheryl and I, we had so many phone calls that Cheryl come in my office and said, "You're going to have to help me. We're going to have to get going on these phone calls." And so I said, "Okay, no problem. Give me one." So she gave me one, and we started talking, and, you know, we went down the line, and she's praying with some of them up in her office, and I'm praying for some, and George Jenny's in her office praying, and the Baron even prayed some this week. You know, I told him, "I'll let you pray for some of the men. You know, I don't want you to pray for any women yet, because, you know, he's a big old strong husky boy."
Something's cutting out.
I don't know what's going on here.
Just do it.
Okay.
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Stick it back in there. So anyway, praise the Lord. And so anyway, we prayed for different people, and it's amazing. Some of the prayer calls were real simple. Like, you know, "I need a job." And so that's real simple. Anybody can pray for people for a job. And I remember a young boy standing right here one day. He come up at prayer time, and he said, "Pastor, I need a job." He said, "I've been looking and looking and looking and looking." I think that we really don't have a clue who we are. But anyway, we prayed, and then Cheryl prayed, and different things. And of course, one of them I'll have to tell you. I get very few like this, but this one, when I called, I asked the lady, I said, what do you need prayer for? And she says, "My husband has had a stroke." And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "If your husband has had a stroke," I said, "we've come to find out that bitterness and unforgiveness has a tendency to bring strokes on, especially in men." I mean, you know, when you've been in the healing business for 30 or 40 years, and you've seen as many people healed of strokes as I have, you know what causes it, and it's unforgiveness. And of course, this lady, she says, "Now, where in the world did you read that in the Bible?" I said, "Well, ma'am, it's in there." I said, "The thing about it is, if we don't forgive everybody from our heart," I said, "God himself will send a tormenting spirit to torment us." And I said, "That will bring on a stroke." She says, "Sir, I'm so sorry I troubled you." She says, "I never heard anything like this." She said, "My next door neighbor told me to call you, that y'all seem to get lots of good results on prayer." But she said, "I've never heard anything like this, so I'm sorry I bothered you." And she just hung up the phone.
Wow.
Now see, when you hear something that is totally different, instead of being open to the truth, you know, you just close your heart. And but you know, that's been happening forever. It's not something that's new. In fact, I have a feeling that after the scripture I'm going to use today, that we don't have a clue what it means. In fact, I remember years ago teaching this same scripture I'm going to teach out of in 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians here in a few minutes. But I remember one day I was teaching a Bible study class at the Baptist church, and I had a PhD in there. He was a school principal, and his wife was a school teacher. And we came to this verse that we're going to talk about here in a few minutes, and I read the verse, and then I asked them what they thought it meant. And both of these people looked at me and said, "I don't have a clue." Now then, they said, "Do you know what it means?" I said, "Yes, it means exactly what it says." So anyway, it's amazing that people can be super well educated in the world and not believe the principles of the kingdom of God. I mean, how many of you believe that if Jesus told us something in this book, he meant it? You believe that? I mean, are we on safe ground if Jesus says he's going to do something? You know, and if he says it, well, we got to believe it, right? In fact, he says himself also, just like we talked about last Sunday, that if you pray and you don't believe, what are you going to get?
Nothing.
Absolutely nothing. You know, but how many people believe that? There's very few people. They'll tell you, God could not be that hard to get along with. But he is. I mean, he is a faith God. And does he say without faith it's impossible to please him? Those that come to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So I think we decided that diligence means going to church, you know, when we want to or when we like it. You know, it's really, I'm diligent. No, you're not diligent. You don't even know what the word means. But I'm going to read, or get Cheryl to read with me. And I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to ask you a question. I want us to read a little bit of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want you to think about what this says, because since we have so many problems with lawsuits and all these kind of things, and so many people, you know, these two verses, or two sets of verses here in chapter 6 and 7, have such good information in them that the church, they don't even believe it at all, you know. But anyway, I want Cheryl to read a few lines there on that, and then we'll talk about it.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints?
Now, wait a minute. He says, are any of you having a matter, dare any of you having a matter against another,
go to law before the unjust.
Go to court. And you know, when you, I'm not going to ask you to show your hands, but I've had one case in my life where I had to go to court. I didn't want to, but I knew that I had to, but at least it was against somebody that really, they said they were a believer, but they didn't walk according to God's word at all. So I'd have to say I don't believe they were, but the lawyer that I had to choose, my first question to him was, are you a born-again believer? And he said, yes, I am. I said, okay, so I can deal with you. You know, but in other words, if somebody sues you or you have to sue somebody else, you want to really make sure that you are dealing with a lawyer that is a good Christian man. You know, you don't want to go with people that are not. But read that again, Cheryl. Dare any of you having...
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?
Okay, now wait a minute. Let's stop and think about what he just said. You're going to judge the world. I mean, is that what he said? In other words, I really believe with all my heart that we don't have a clue who we are. I mean, I'm guilty myself. I mean, I make statements about things. It's amazing how when somebody says something to us, we don't realize who we really are. We hesitate to grasp the fact that I am as righteous as Jesus Christ. You heard that statement Dave made a while ago?
Yeah.
Did you hear him say there was a little buzzing, a little saw buzzing out in the hallway?
Uh-huh.
I mean, because how dare you think that you're as righteous as Jesus? But I didn't say that. The Lord said that, right? In his word. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus said I'm righteous, then I want y'all to all know you're looking at a righteous man. And I'm looking at a church full of righteous people. Somebody said, well, you don't know what I did this week. It don't make no difference what you did this week. Your performance doesn't determine who you are. Jesus Christ had made that decision a long time ago. And you and me, and I'm going to tell you something, until you see yourself as a son or a daughter of the Most High God, you'll never live where you want to live. You'll never live in the supernatural. You'll never live in the power of God. But when you finally get to the point, say, hey, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And when I drink of the cup or take of the elements, yeah, the bread, I am reminding myself who I am. I am a son of God. I am a joint heir with Christ. Everything that belongs to Him. Have you ever read in the Scripture where I have the mind of Christ? We have the mind of Christ. So, Mary, if you have the mind of Christ, nothing's impossible with you, right? Right. You have to remember who you are. I mean, we as Christians cut ourselves short so much of the time. When somebody walks up and says something to you about something, you say, well, you know, that's okay, Thurman. I'm glad you can do that, but I'm not righteous like you are, so I can't do it. I say, you're not a believer? Oh, yeah, I'm a believer, but I'm not righteous. In fact, I'm going to tell you a story. Don't get me wrong now. I ain't saying this. Y'all all know I know I am righteous because of what the Master did for me and not because of anything I did. You all know that, right?
Amen.
I had a prayer request, email this week. And this lady, actually, it came through Jenny. This lady, she was talking to the lady, and she said, I've been listening to Pastor Thurman's teachings. And she said, I know that righteousness is a wonderful thing, and I know he is righteous. If I ever seen or heard of a righteous man, I know it's Pastor. So she said, I had this problem, and I'd prayed over it, and I couldn't get healed. So I went to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I obviously don't know my righteousness, but I know Pastor T. I know he is the righteousness of God, so will you use his righteousness to heal me? She said, in 2 hours, I was completely healed.
Hallelujah.
Now, you see, I knew who I was. And the Lord knows I know who I am because I know His Son, Jesus Christ. And because His Son, Jesus Christ, is living in me, that means me and Him are one and the same.
Amen.
When you can see yourself like that, then when a person that's sick and prays that prayer like that lady did, because she said, I know Pastor Thurman he's well. I mean, he's the righteousness of God in Christ. So, Lord, I'm going to use his righteousness to get me healed. And thank you, Lord, for his righteousness. Now then, could any one of us done that?
Yes.
I mean, but you say, but I'm not righteous. It's amazing she hasn't seen herself as the righteousness of God yet. She has not seen that. But when she finally gets a hold of the fact, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am. Yeah. Then, Lord, I don't need to stand on nobody else's righteousness. I'm standing on yours and mine. I mean, I'm a daughter of the King.
Amen.
Or I'm a son of God. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. So I'm going to use my righteousness. If Paul is telling us something here in the Scripture in 1 Corinthians, how dare you people, you know, when you have a problem, go to law with an unbeliever? I mean, and you go and you have a problem with these people and they're not even believers. And don't you know that you folks are going to judge the world? Obviously, they don't know that. You know, you ask the average Christian, you go to church one day and you come in and like I did that day, you know, when I read that to somebody. I said, you know, just think, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. The day's going to come when you're going to judge the world. Yeah. And they say, who? I said, you. No, not me. I'm not good enough. But how many people see themselves like that?
A lot of people.
Multitudes of people see themselves that way, don't they?
Yes.
I could never pray the prayer of faith. Oh, if I was, could only be like Pastor T. You are like Pastor T. You're just exactly like Pastor T. There's no difference whatsoever in you and me. We're all saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're washed in the blood. We are the righteousness of God in Christ because of what Jesus did and not what we did. Now, if you're going to have to get healed on my righteousness and there's not anything else to go with, you're going to be sick a long time. That's just, this is a good little joke. When Cheryl first started coming to my church over in Dallas, and I'm standing up there preaching the word like she had never heard it in her life, and she's looking at me and thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be married to a perfect man. Well, then God brought... Yeah, just like she said, she found out. God brought me to her, and we got married, and then she found out that diamond was a diamond in the rough. Very rough. I got news for y'all. Y'all are diamonds in the rough, too. You know that? That we are righteous because of the blood of Jesus. We're righteous because of what he done, but we're still a diamond in the rough.
Amen.
But at least he's still working on us, right, Kim?
Right, absolutely.
And now the thing about it is, the problem we have in the church, so much trouble in the church, of people not realizing that we are righteous as we're ever going to be. We have a little problem with somebody, and especially with husbands and wives, when we have a little problem. And sometimes the problem's pretty significant, I will have to say, but it doesn't make any difference what you did. We are supposed to be able to sit down with a set of believers and talk about these things and get these problems taken care of. Do you know that? We should be able to sit down, but people will not sit down. They will not talk. They will not forgive. When Jesus said, you're not only supposed to forgive one another seven times, but how many times? 70 times seven? How dare you even think about me having to forgive you more than one time? I mean, think about that. If somebody gets mad at their mate or something happens or something comes up or they do something or whatever and something goes crazy, and they do something stupid, you know. I mean, if they should be able to sit down with a couple of good, solid rock Christians, and they should be able to sit there and talk out the problem and get the husband and wife back together. Amen. Because God's got a whole bunch of rules.
Amen.
A whole bunch of rules. And almost nobody goes by these rules. They go by the world's rules. Of course, first of all, if we would teach the Word of God like we're supposed to in the church and tell people what they're supposed to do, we'd have a whole lot less men out there running around with another woman. That's what gets me. I mean, here we got men that are out, they got a wife at home, but why can't they be happy with the one they got at home? No, they've been out there running around with another one. Well, that's not the way it's supposed to be. But anyway, whenever we look at this scripture and we see what this scripture says, do you folks not believe or not realize the day is coming? And this is the way I see this now. This is may not be the way it is, but this is the way I see it. He did say, do you not know you're going to judge the world? Is that what he said? So if he said we're going to judge the world, then that judgment of the world is going to take place at the great white throne.
Yeah.
Stop and think about this now. At the great white throne, who's going to be sitting on the throne?
Jesus
is going to be sitting on the throne. Who's going to be there with him?
We will.
We will. Now, then, can you imagine Jesus saying, calling your name and say, okay, I've got a lot of people to judge. There's a lot of people in the world that's lost. A lot of people that have done things wrong. Now, then, there's going to be a different place in hell for each one of those. Tony, you take that one. You judge him. Do you ever stop and think that that's what's coming? I mean, that's kind of mind-boggling, isn't it, to think that the king is going to let you and me sit with him on his throne, and we're going to be judging the world, the lost world, and you're going to be determining with him what they've done and all this stuff. And then he's going to say, that one, because of the judgment, you judged him. That judgment was true. And that person is going to have to go to a certain place in the lake of fire.
Wow.
Or they've been really rotten. Really rotten. Some people are more rotten than others. You know that?
Yeah.
So some people are going to be in a lesser place of torment.
Yep.
And some are going to be in a terrible place of torment. But according to the way I read this scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, we're going to be judging the world. Isn't that amazing? Most people never think about they're going to judge the world. So just like Paul says, my goodness gracious alive, if you're going to judge the world, then can't you take care of these dinky little problems between yourselves? I mean, can't you find somebody in the church? Find some of these young kids. Anybody can know enough to settle these problems. Y'all see where I'm coming from?
Yep.
He's kind of trying to belittle us a little bit there. You know, we should be able to take care of it. Surely, you're going to be able to judge these different problems we got down here right now. Because don't you know that you're going to judge the world? Don't you know that you're going to judge angels?
Yeah.
Is that what he said?
That's the next verse.
The next verse says you're going to judge angels? You know, when I read that, I know if God said that, I knew that had to be true. If Jesus clearly said there through the Apostle Paul that I'm going to judge people, I'm going to judge the world, the lost world. I'm going to sit with him on his throne. I am a righteous son of God. You are a righteous son and daughter of God. You are going to judge the world. You're going to judge angels. You have been given an angel. And I have said this since I learned this. If it's written in this book, it's true.
Yes.
You agree with that?
Yes.
If it's written in this book, it's true. So anyway, there's been a few times in my life when I go to do something, I say, okay, angel, I need you to help me.
Yeah.
And then if they do a good job, say, okay, praise the Lord. Now you're going to be judged good.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about, and many of y'all have heard me tell the story about the bull. Happened right out here in this pasture, right behind the church. One day, Tim's 42 years old now, but one day when he was right out of high school, about 19, we went down there because we had a bull, a great big bull across the way over here, broke the fence down and got in there with my cows. We went down there to try to drive him out of the cows, and there was no way he was going to get that bull out of there. I had about a dozen heifers down there, and he wanted in there with them girls. He didn't want out there. He wanted in there where the girls were, so kind of like teenage boys, you know, they're all running around where the girls are. So that's no difference. But anyway, we tried and tried and tried to get that bull out of that pasture. We could not get him out of there. No way. I even run into him once with a pickup, you know, and he wouldn't go. I mean, he's going to stay there. So finally I stopped, and Tim, he'd been running. He was tired. And he said, Dad, we're going to have to go back to the house and get a couple of horses and a couple more people. I said, well, we got help that you don't know about. He said, what's that? I said, I just turned around. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Now, angels hearken to the voice of God.
Yeah.
So when I ask the Father for something, I'm his son.
Yeah.
Does the Father always say yes to his children?
Yeah.
Yes, he always does. Just exactly like he said. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, send me an angel.
Yeah.
I said, angel, in other words, I'm acting like the angel's right there. As soon as I asked, bam, there he is. I said, angel, I want you to go over there and grab that bull by the nape of the neck and lead him right out of that herd of cows, lead him down to that fence right over yonder, and then lead him down that fence where that gate's open down yonder in the corner, and then me and Tim will go down there and close the gate. I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Father. Thank you, angel. I said, Lord, let's get him. He said, what are you talking about, Dad? I said, come on, let's get him. So we started toward that bull, and that bull, his head went up like this, he just like somebody reached down and put a rope on him, just like that. led him right out of that herd of cows. He never looked back, just like he's had a rope around his neck, and that angel, I couldn't see it, but it's what's happening. He walks out of there, he gets over to that fence, and he turns down that fence. We get about halfway, probably 150, 200 yards down the fence. That bull's right out there in front of us, and he's still going right straight toward that gate. Tim says, Dad, this is another one of your wild stories that if I hadn't have been here to see this, I'd never have believed this. But you know, why do you never see things like that? You don't believe. You don't believe. I mean, does the Lord say that he's given us angels?
Yes.
So if he's going to, and you're going to judge the world and angels, then if you're an angel, does something good, you need to remind him. Just like that day we picked up the wall over there at the gym, and me and Dave, we tried to pick that wall up. There was no way we could pick up that big old wall. So Dave said, Thurman, what you did wrong, you didn't ask the Lord to send us an angel to help us. I said, you're absolutely right. I said, Father, send me an angel. I said, Angel, when we get this drink of water drink, we get back up there, I'm going to need some help. I want you guys to help me and Dave stand that wall up. That wall was 42 feet long and 18 feet high. Made out of double two by sixes. What in the world would think that me and him could pick up something that heavy anyway? Oh, I know, we thought we were like Baron. Well, we wasn't like Baron. We wasn't nowhere close to like he was. But anyway, we got out there, and when we got ready, I said, okay, you get your end, I'll get mine. We reached down, picked that thing up, and that wall just went right up like that and stood right up. Perfect. I mean, now then, if I have angels that are sent that I'm going to judge, I need to call on one of them once in a while and have them help me.
Amen.
I mean, I used to, whenever I'd come in the airplane, when I'd be out flying by myself, when I come back, there's no way I could push the airplane up into the hangar by myself. So every time I would come in, if there was nobody around to help me, and that's most of the time there was not, I'd say, Father, in Jesus' name, send me an angel. I said, Angel, now when I push this back in there, I need you to push, or one on each wing or whatever, to help me. So I got it right back in the hangar. So I close the door. Every time. I'd say, okay, boys, we're ready. Let's go. And I mean, somebody looking at me thinking, who is this crazy guy? There ain't nobody out there with him. But I'd push that thing right back in the hangar, and he'd go in there, and we'd close the door, and I'd tie it down and everything. How do you do that? I said, it's real simple. Call on my angels. You know what people think? There's something wrong with you. When you call on your angel, but why do I call on my angels to help me? What does the Scripture say? If the Scripture says, don't you know that you're going to judge your angel someday? Then they got to be here, right, Miss Jackie? So if they're here, we need to ask them to help us when we need help, right?
I do. Can we lift those bottles, you know, cases of water?
Yeah.
It's like lifting.
Because yeah.
The angel helps me every time.
Do you think that the average Christian has any idea who they are?
No.
I mean, the average one of you in this room probably goes through a whole week and never, ever calls on your angel to help you do anything. I saw an angel one day. I was down at a church down close to where TBN is now. I was down there, and there was a man teaching on demons. Now, at that time, I knew virtually nothing about spirits and angels. That's why I went, so I could learn. A big church, it probably would have held 500 or 1,000 people. But as we were there, and I'm way back at the back of this listening, this guy's a little guy, and he's up front on the platform. And all of a sudden, right out of one of the pews, this man jumps up and starts running toward him, screaming, I'm going to hurt you. I mean, I didn't know what was going on. I mean, I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I'm off over here on the corner. Or I can run out the door or something. I had no idea who I was. I didn't know. I needed to be there. That little pastor, he wasn't excited. He just kind of stepped up toward the front of that platform, and that guy's running down that hallway as hard as he could run. He just says, angels, put him on the floor on his face in Jesus' name. When he did that, that guy just went overhead first, slid down on the face on the floor, on the carpet, and his hands went behind him like this, and he's laying on his stomach and his knees with his hands. I looked at it, I thought, how unique. It's like there's some invisible beings out there that he's calling on. There was. There really was. I did not have a clue who I was. I was certainly glad I went there that day, because later I read this scripture. Do you not know that you will judge the world? And I'm thinking, wait a minute. And do you not know you'll judge angels? I said, I saw that pastor call on angels, and they put that boy on the floor on his face. What happens to when? And you know what happens to us? We're like the guy out in Oregon. When I went out there several years ago to inspect the building that week that we were going to buy as a company. And this guy, I went to church on Sunday. I got there on Saturday, so I wanted to make sure I knew where I was at. So I went to church down there Sunday morning, and the pastor was speaking. He had been studying about demons. And he said, I'm learning about these demons. I'm reading about these things. Because in seminary, they didn't teach me nothing about demons. So he said, I'm learning about these things. And he said, as I'm learning about these demons, he said, I pushed my chair back and I said, okay, Lord, I've got it. I'm ready. Send me a demon. Do you think God heard that? So anyway, he said a few days later, he said, I was walking home from church that afternoon. He said it was only 4, 5, 6 blocks to the house. So he said, I was walking home about just before dark. He said, I'm walking down the sidewalk and just, you know, kind of going along there, just all comfortable. All of a sudden, I hear this screaming. And he said, I turned to look where the scream was, and over here there was an old straggle-toothed woman, white-haired, with a great big butcher knife running from the end of an apartment there, running straight at me, screaming, I'm going to kill you! What? He said, man, he said, I'm telling you, I'm digging in, I'm running as hard as I can run. He said, I get about a block from the house, and I thought, where is she? I turned around looking, and said, ain't nobody nowhere, and I looked. Wow, I wonder what happened. He said, just as clear, I heard the Lord say, I thought you were ready. I thought you were ready. Send me a demon. Well, he wasn't quite ready. Did you know that's most of us? Most of us, if we were to see a spirit like that attacking us, very few of us would stop and say, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. You know that? But did you know you have that power? You have those angels. You know what I mean? If you see a man or a woman or anything else coming at you to hurt you, you say, in the name of Jesus, I have authority and power over you in Jesus' name. And then if everything don't happen just like it's supposed to, you better say, okay, angels, you boys better put them on the floor. Remember, I'm going to judge you one day. Do you understand what I'm saying? You are going to, is that what he said, Mike? What he said? You're going to judge angels. Don't you know you're going to judge the world? Can you imagine Mike, me and you sitting with him at the great white throne judging all these sinners? Because we're sons of God. Yeah. Ain't that going to be something? Now, how many of you believe the day's coming when you're going to judge the world? You know? Remember, if you're going to judge the world and you're going to judge angels, who are you? You must really be something. You're who?
The righteousness of God.
Amen. The righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. When it says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, hey, I got my hand out. I'm a righteous man, aren't we? If I'm a righteous man, I can pray the prayer of faith and they get healed, right? I mean, is that what the scripture says? Do you not know that you're going to judge the world? Did it really say that? Do you not know that you're going to judge angels? Did it really say that?
Yes, it does. Verse 3.
Wow. Really? Who do you think you are? If it says you are the righteousness of God in Christ, then you need to start thinking like that. And if you're going to judge the world, you need to realize that you have power and authority. That's just like, I have no idea how many people that I have prayed for and taken authority over, from little children up, just like today that, and many of you know the story of little Cody. Cody was 9 months old. I mean, he was a kicker and a screamer. I mean, he was a tormentor. I mean, he was really something. And my wife, she tried to keep him, and she told me one day I met my match. She said, "This boy, he's not normal." And I said, "Father, now then, what can we ask the Father for in the name of Jesus?" I mean, he said that, didn't he? I said, "Father, in Jesus' name, what's wrong with Cody?" And just like that, he answered me and said, "A tormenting spirit." I told Betty, I said, no problem. When Mother brings him in the morning and leaves him here, I know what's wrong with him now. I'll get him free. So Friday morning, which was the next morning, she brought him, and he was kicking and screaming and crying and everything else. And she set him down in a high chair, and she's crying, but she leaves. And as she leaves, I walk over and just kneel down beside his little chair, reach up and put my hands on his shoulders, and I said, "Cody, look at me. Here he is, 9 months old." He turns around and looks at me. I said, "Come out of him in the name of Jesus, you tormenting spirit of hell. I take authority over you, and I command you to leave this boy and go to the abyss and never come back in Jesus' name." I said, "Lord, thank you. It's done." I turned to Betty and I said, "Guarantee you and Cody will have a great day today." Amen. Now then, if I know I'm a son of God, I can do those kind of things. Right, Mike? You know you have that kind of authority. The King gave you that kind of authority and power. So anyway, I come in that afternoon and Betty said, "Wow, you ain't going to believe the day me and Cody had today." I said, "I will. You had a great day. I know you did, because I kicked that devil out of him this morning before I left." She said, "Wow." So the mother had already come and got Cody. The next Monday morning when she brought him, she said, "Betty, what in the world did you do to my son? Did you give him some medicine?" Betty said, "No, I would never give him medicine without your approval." "Why?" She said, "He's a different boy. He's a normal boy. There was no kicking, screaming." Let me tell you, if you don't know you're the son of God's righteous boy, you can't do those kind of things. The devil will laugh at you. You got to know, "I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am Christ's son. I am Christ's daughter. I'm a King's child." But you know, do you understand now that when that PhD was in my Sunday school class, a principal of schools over here in the Justin area many years ago, a principal of schools, and his wife was a school teacher, and she had a master's degree. And when I said, "You know, you're going to judge the world. You're going to judge angels. Do you know what that means?" And they said, both of them said, "No, I have no idea what it means." Well, if you read that, what would you think if I asked you, what does that mean? It means what it says, right? I mean, so why do I have to try to put things in there that's not in there? Why don't you just say, "Hey, it says I'm going to judge the world." Yeah. If it says I'm going to judge the world, what am I going to do, Miss Jackie? I'm going to judge the world. I'm going to be sitting right there on the throne with my Savior, and me and him are going to be judging the world, because that's what he said. Yeah. And then those angels, you know, well, I'm going to judge a few of them too. But you know, the thing I've noticed that most people will never have to judge their angel, because their angel's sitting up there twiddling their thumbs saying, they never asked me to do nothing. Never been asked to do not one single thing. Do you know the average Christian in the average church has never asked their angel to do not one single thing for them in their entire life? Do y'all understand that? But if we're going to judge angels, we know that they're here. They're sent to us. We're supposed to use them for his glory, those angels. So why not use those boys? Right, Gracie? I mean, it's like that girl down here in Dallas. You know, that what was going through that alley that night when that guy was back there in the trash can area, and when she saw him, she kind of startled her, but she had asked the Lord to protect her as she went through that area. So she just walked right on by, didn't slow down. But anyway, later on that night, a girl was abducted and murdered right there where she was. And they found some people, and they asked people to come down and tell who these people were. This girl went down, she saw this one guy, and she said, you know, he was there, right there, just 20 minutes before I saw him. Well, it kind of rattled his cage, so he said, okay, I'm the one that did it. And so anyway, whenever she said that, she says, why did you not bother me? He said, ma'am, are you crazy? He said, when you walked through, there was 2 6-foot-6 men right behind you. Now, who do you think those boys were? And she had asked the Lord, Lord, protect me as I go through here. He sent two of his angels. I mean, any man in his right mind sees a woman walking down through a hallway that with 2 6-foot-6 men behind them was about 250 pounds apiece, you know, or maybe two barons. If you see two barons walking along behind you, you ain't going to mess with this boy. You ain't going to mess with it. Is that right?
That's right.
But did you know, as powerful as Baron is, compared to our angels, he's just a wimp.
Yeah.
Is that right, Baron? I mean, you ain't nothing compared to our angels. The day may come when you need one of them. And no problem. He knows he's got them now, so he can call on them. He can call on those angels. He can call on his Lord. He's learned a whole bunch of things about serving the Lord. And until just a few months ago, you had you ever called on an angel before?
Never.
Didn't even know you had them.
Didn't even know they had them.
But now you know. Just think. Do you not know that you're going to judge the world? What are we going to judge?
The world.
The world.
And what else?
The angels.
Do you really believe that?
It is written.
It is written. There you go, Baron. It is written, is it not? We're going to judge angels. We're going to judge the world because it's written. And it's such a shame to think of the people that don't even have any clue that we have these angels and we have this kind of power. We are the righteousness of God in Christ. And I don't know, I guess I don't really know how many, I have no way to know, but I've preached these principles in a lot of churches and a lot of places, and one of the questions when I go to a new church, I always like to ask, right here it says, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I said, So if we need to get healed, all we need is a prayer from a man that knows he's a righteous man. And I said, now how many of you men, and maybe we got 100, 150, 200 people in the church. I said, how many of you men, just you men, know you can pray that prayer of faith? And out of 100 or 200 men, I might have one or two or three men that kind of sheepishly hold up their hand. I said, I'm going to tell you why y'all don't ever get nothing done here, because nobody knows who they are. If you know who you are, you know, when I ask that question, how many hands should go up? Every one of them. Yeah, and if I said, okay, now, it says the prayer of a righteous man, that could mean a woman too. A woman or a man. So how many of you girls know you're the righteousness of God in Christ? Amen. The hands all go up. So if you're a righteous daughter, can you get things done?
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. You can pray the prayer of faith. I mean, if you know who you are, nothing is impossible with you.
Amen.
You have the mind of Christ. You know, you're going to judge the world.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to judge angels. I mean, it's written.
Yes.
If it's written, is it going to happen?
Yes.
Wow. Wow. Isn't that something? Let's go a little further there, Cheryl, honey. Let's read the next verse. After.
Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren, but brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Paul's really giving us a hard time here because we go to lawyers that are not Christians, doesn't he? In fact, he's trying to say, you know, if there's something goes on, if something happens, we ought to be able to say, okay, we need a couple of young people, maybe a couple of 15, 20-year-olds, to sit down with the person, the couple that's having a problem, whether it be two men, two women, man, woman, whatever it is, and let's let these children see if they can make a decision. Do you know that's where we should be? We shouldn't even have to go to the pastor and his deacons, his elders, or men of God. We ought to be able to take a problem and get it solved. We should train our children the principles of the kingdom of God well enough that they know what to do in all circumstances. And if they don't know what to do, we have trained them well enough to know that all you got to do is pray and ask God for an answer. If we pray and ask God for an answer, I'll tell you how simple it is. Last week, while Cheryl and I was praying with all these people, I was all over the place. Different offices, front, back, everywhere. Of course, at the beginning of it, I needed a cup of hot tea. So Ed had given me a big old stainless steel cup about that tall. You know, that really keeps things cold or hot. I mean, some of you may have one of those cups. They're so good. I went in here in the kitchen and made me a big old cup of hot tea. And I went in my office and sat down my chair and set the cup of tea down where I usually set it, I thought. And then I made a phone call. While I was talking, I didn't have time to drink, so I'm too busy. So I'm talking and dealing. And so then I get through that call, got to go to another place, then to another place. And after about 2 or 3 hours, all of a sudden I kind of get caught up for a few minutes, and I thought, what did I do with my teacup? Any of y'all ever done that? Laid your teacup down, couldn't find it, or laid your glasses down, couldn't find your glasses or whatever. So anyway, I look all over the place. I go everywhere. Even some of the girls said, well, maybe you left it in the bathroom. I said, well, I don't think I've been to the bathroom, but maybe I did. You can't ever tell. I've been so busy. So one of them went up to the bathroom. Come back, she said, no, Pastor, it's not there either. I said, okay, kids, when everything fails, what is it time to do?
Pray.
Amen. So we prayed. I said, Lord, we have looked for that cup. We can't find that cup. So you said I could ask for anything. So I'm asking you to show me where that teacup is so I can have my hot tea. I know it's still hot because that cup will keep tea hot for 2 or 3 or 4 hours. I mean, or longer. It's a good cup. And so anyway, I prayed. I stood right there in the front. And I said, Lord, I need you to show me where that cup is at. Thank you for doing it. And I'm standing there. And all of a sudden, just whoosh, right in front of my eyes, I saw the end of my desk with the teacup sitting on the floor. And see, when I'd go in there to look for it, I never set it on the floor. So I only look on top of the desk, and it ain't there. So I told her, I said, girls, hold it. I said, that prayer worked. I know where it's at. I said, I laid it down in my office. I know because the Lord just showed me. So I come up there, and I walked in, walked down to my office, walked around the corner, and looked down at the desk. There's a computer, and sitting right beside it on the floor, there's my teacup. Now, isn't it amazing? How many times do we not ask God for those things? Somebody said, that's crazy. No, it wasn't crazy. I needed to find my teacup. And I looked for it, and I did do everything I knew how to do, and everybody helped me. But, you know, the principle of it, we should have prayed before we started looking. But, you know, usually we think we can do it ourselves, right? Sure, yeah. So I don't guess there's not a problem there as long as you don't go away without praying. So once I prayed, we found it. It's amazing how God uses prayer to change things. Wow. Start there with that scripture again. Where'd you quit?
But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers.
Okay. That next verse.
Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded?
Okay, now wait a minute. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to take wrong. Okay, so we made a mistake here, and it cost me $50 or $5 maybe, or $500, whatever. I'm just going to give it to you. It's not a big deal. I'm just going to give it to you. You say, give it to you? You got to be kidding. That was $50. No, I ain't give you going to give me my $50 back or else, or I'm going to take you to court and sue you. Do we hear things like that?
Yeah.
It's like I was telling somebody the other day, we had a situation similar to this. I talked to him about it, and I said, well, how much money do you think is going to be involved here? They said about $500. I said, okay, $500, maybe $1,000. I said, you're talking about that amount of money, $500 or $1,000. I said, if you fight it, if you do win, you're only going to get the whatever it was, $1,000 or whatever it was. I said, but if you don't get it, you know, you're going to lose it. But I said, either way, you're going to go through something. And I said, I tell you what I'd do if I was you. I'd just give it to them. I'd just say, you know, I tell you what I'm going to do. Because I'm a Christian, I'm just going to, whether they're a believer or an unbeliever, it makes no difference. If they're an unbeliever, you know, that's something they're going to think they really got to you. But, you know, the Lord, you do things His way, and He'll soften their heart. He'll change things, you know. So, or He'll come along and bless your socks off because you did something right. That's like that, I think Kim and I and Scott was talking about this yesterday, I think it was. About the little boy that had the chemical that blew up in his face. Wasn't that yesterday we were talking about that? The mother told the boy, he was about 10 or 12 years old, told him to stay in the house with his two sisters and not go outside because she was going to the grocery store. Well, he didn't pay attention. He didn't listen. How many kids you know do that?
A lot.
You know, they really do. So anyway, he's outside kicking the can. It's got acid in it. He don't know it. And it's kind of a hot day, so the acid kicking is building pressure. Finally, he kicks the can all over the place, and he's running around there in front of the house. Then he decides to take the lid off of it. So he picks his pen up, turns the lid. When he does that, acid blew all over his face. Got in his eyes. He can't see. The doctor said he may lose both eyes. And all, it was all kinds of problems. Well, when he's screaming, the two sisters, they come running down there and they hear about it. And so they call mother and say, mother, Johnny or whatever his name was, had something acid blew up in his face and said he can't see and he's in pain. So mama comes running home. She comes running in there and she says, Johnny, did I tell you to stay in the house? Yes, ma'am. Why did you disobey me? Well, I don't know. I just wanted to go outside and play. I want you to repent and tell God you're sorry you disobeyed me. Now, she's not interested in doctoring him.
No.
She's interested in, you heard that story.
I did.
Some of you heard that too, Miss Jackie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on the Sid Ross show. And so anyway, after she reprimands him severely, and then he says, okay, Mama, I'm so sorry. I repent. I won't do that again. She says, okay, take his towel and go in there and wash your face. She take your towel and go and wash your face. So he takes the towel and the wash rag and goes in and washes his face and dries his face. When he comes out, his face was completely healed.
Woo! Hallelujah.
All he had to do was repent for not doing what mother told him to do.
Right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
So, you know, most people never even think about getting the child to repent for doing something stupid, do we? We just don't realize. I was telling Scott and me both really locked on that. In Hebrews 2, how many acts of disobedience?
Every act.
Listen to that. Every act of disobedience to the law will be judged. Every act. So how many things are you going to get by with?
None.
Nothing. So now we wonder why all this crazy stuff happens all over the earth. It's because of sin. People don't want to hear it. No, Thurman, there's no way that sin of kicking that can and not staying in the house could cause that boy to go blind. But it did. It did. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, let's go read a little further there. Or read the one you just read, read it over again.
Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren.
Just think about that a minute. Now, what's the Lord telling you to do? Just forgive them. Mm-hmm. If there's something wrong, if we make a mistake and we do something wrong, and let's say that, like for instance, Cheryl, she goes down at Christmas time, buys all these gifts for all these children. Two or three times this year, she got what it looked like a bird nest on the ground. She goes down and buys like 50 of these little toys for these boys or whatever, and they forget to ring them up. I mean, somebody said, oh my goodness, we got 50 toys that cost $10 or $20 a piece for free. Wow. No, that's not the way to do that at all, is it?
No.
Cheryl is on the phone telling these people, you didn't ring me up. That one manager said, you know, Cheryl, you're such an honest person. Cheryl said, you know, if I don't pay for it now, I'm going to pay for it later many times over. But see, she knows the scripture.
I told her I wasn't going to be a thief. No thief inherits the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah, that is true. That is, yeah. No, thieves shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Thieves. And if she had stolen those things and didn't pay for those, would that be awful?
Oh, yeah, it was about $700 or $800.
$700 or $800. And to think, people out here going to hell for $700 or $800. I mean, we don't believe that when it says what it says. We just like this scripture. You know, some people say, you know, Thurman said that I'm going to be able to judge the world someday. He's got to be crazy. But you know what? If nobody has expounded on this like this, and you go out and talk to somebody, your neighbor or something, say, you know, did you know that, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to Baptist church or Methodist church or whatever. I go to church all the time. Do you know you're going to judge the world? Oh, no, 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 no. You got that wrong. You read that wrong. But did we read it wrong? It clearly says you will judge the world. You'll judge angels. And if you've done anything, that just give it to them. If you can't settle a case for them, just say, okay, I give it to you. Isn't that what he's saying? I'll just let you have it. You know, I'm not going to fuss with you. You know, I've got $50 or $100 or $500 here. And before I'm going to do anything wrong here, if you can't be settled with me, then I'm just going to give you the $500 and go on. I guarantee if you give that money, God will take care of you. He will take care of you. Okay, honey, read on.
Next verse. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Now wait a minute. That was a pretty long list, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And so you're going to be a drunkard or whatever. That's a long... Read that list one more time, honey.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?
Now, wait a minute. Just right there. Stop right there just a minute. I want to ask everybody in this room, how many of you know you're the righteousness of God? Because if you're not the righteousness of God, where are you going? Oh, my goodness gracious. That is scary. Is that scary? Know ye not that the unrighteous isn't that amazing? Know ye not. Okay, honey, read on a little further there.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Just think of the people that's out there that's sleeping with people they ain't married to. They're lying, stealing, cheating, committing adultery, fornication, all the homosexuals, perverts, drunkards, that list goes on and on, doesn't it? And how many of those people are going to inherit the kingdom of God? Boy, did you know that if I had a cousin or an uncle or anybody else and they were not walking in obedience to God's word, I'd be on their doorstep trying to tell them, hey guys, let me show you what I just learned in church. Because of your drinking, being a drunkard and all this stuff, this says here that if you live like this and if you die like this, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Scary though, isn't it? Oh, you bunch of old fogies, y'all don't believe. Yeah, you know God not do things like that. He would never do that to me. Would he? There's a lady up here, she says he will. Another lady over here says he will too, right? Do you know if... Now then, we're gonna read that list one more time so it'll really be... When we're talking about who's righteous and unrighteous... The righteousness are the ones that believe in Jesus. We believe by faith we are sons of God. The unrighteous is those that do not believe. And I tell you for sure, since when you read a scripture like this, you want to make sure that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, you fit into that righteous category. Because he said, if you're not the righteousness of God in Christ, you ain't going to heaven, right? Let's read that just a little one more time, honey.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God.
Wow. I don't want to be in that list, do you?
No.
Because just think, how many people do you know that's living in some kind of sin that thinks they're okay? Lots of people. Lots of people. But I ain't taking no chance. You know, you find out, like I told a guy one time, I told him, I said, you know, if I'm right... and this Bible is true like I read it, I'm going to be okay. Aren't you?
Right.
Because you know you're the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yeah.
You ain't lying, thieving, cheating, committing adultery. You're not a homosexual pervert or none of those other things. You are going to walk in obedience to His Word. Is that true?
That's right.
So if you know beyond a shadow of a doubt you're the righteousness of God in Christ, you're not going to sin. You're going to live holy before God because your daddy, if you really know your daddy, the Father, and Jesus Christ, your brother, you know He wants you to walk righteous. So you want to do everything within your power to be just like Him. That's why I want my life to be pure and holy because my daddy is a pure and holy God. And my brother, Jesus Christ, is a pure and holy brother. And so I want to be just like them. You know, I want people, when they see me, they see Him. Because when they do that, like that little girl I told you about there a while ago, I was so humbled when that little girl said, Father, if you will use Pastor Thurman's righteousness to heal me, because I know I don't have the righteousness to get it done on my own. And in 2 hours, the girl is healed. Will that humble you?
Yes.
Absolutely. You think, gee, Lord, you're so awesome that you use my righteousness, but I am righteous.
Yes.
I'm righteous because Jesus is righteous, and I'm His son. And so, wow. Okay, read a little further there, huh?
And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any.
See, now there's exactly what I'm talking about right there. As a son of God, I'm washed in the blood, I'm clean and pure and holy and righteous. But since I am clean and pure and holy, and I am a son of God, and everything is legal for me, am I going to go out and do something stupid?
No.
No. I want to glorify my father and my brother in everything I do. I want to be as close like him as I possibly can, don't you?
Yes.
So that means you're not going to go out and do any kind of stupid sinning. You're not going to go out and get drunk. You're not going to go out and commit adultery. You're going to do none of those crazy things because you are the righteousness of God in Christ and you want to do things like Jesus done things. Okay, read on a little further.
Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power.
Okay. Wow.
Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid.
Okay. In other words, right there is a perfect example of what he's trying to say. You need to, because of who you are, sons and daughters of God, we need to keep every commandment that God put in his rule book. The commandments are not going to keep you holy. You just need to, and it's not going to keep you saved. You just need to make sure you walk in obedience to his word and walk as holy as you know how. Our bodies are for Jesus. They are of Christ. Just think, when I stop and look at myself and I look at you, as I look out across here at you, I'm seeing a church full of righteous men and women. And the thing about it is, I'm seeing a body of beautiful, beautiful men and women. Because God made you just like he made you, and he made you for a purpose, did he not?
Amen.
You are a good-looking bunch of people, born again, spirit-filled, sons and daughters of the Most High God, of which you have the mind of Christ, and nothing is impossible with you, absolutely nothing. You can do all things through Christ which strengthens you. All power is there for you. You're going to judge the world someday. You're going to judge angels someday. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and they're absolutely, as we read last week, when we read about in Matthew 17, if you have faith and doubt not, there shall not be anything impossible for you. You can do anything. What does that uncover? Everything. Nothing will be impossible. We need to realize who we are. We've just got to realize, and when we stop and pray and ask God for something, there's absolutely nothing impossible with God. And he wants us, if somebody's trying to do you wrong, and you know, you talk to them about it, you can't get them to see it no other way, just say, okay, no problem. I'm the guilty culprit. I ask you to forgive me. I mean, although you might have been the one that didn't do nothing wrong, you're going to say, okay, I forgive you. I'm going to turn it over to the Lord and you, and I'm going to be okay. And I'm not going to hold nothing against nobody. I'm going to go on, and it's all yours. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
God will take care of you if you do that.
Yeah.
I guarantee he will take care of you. Wow. Wow. What a deal. Okay, read on a little further.
But he that's joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body.
Well, think about that a second. That is the only sin that the Bible says, that God says when we commit that act, we sin against our own body. And I really think the reason that happens like that is that when we commit adultery, that opens the door to a tormenting or demonic spirit to kill your flesh. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3, the Lord says that if you sin or defile your temple with sexual immorality, he will destroy your temple. So that means you, if you go out and start committing adultery, it's going to cost you your life. It's going to cost you your life. And some, that one girl over here in Justin, that little girl that was committing adultery with that boy, that I went to see 3 times, I went to see her in 5 years, and she absolutely refused. And I told her, I quoted that scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, where that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and if you defile your temple with sexual immorality, the Lord says he will destroy your temple. Now, people don't believe that. I told her that, and she would not believe. But I told her, I said, you know, I don't know how thin the ice is, but I said, you know, if you don't quit it, I said, someday God's going to kill you. And she said, Mr. Shrivener, you're crazy. God is a God of love. He would never hurt me. I said, yes, he will. If he says in 1 Corinthians 3:16-17, if you defile your temple, he'll destroy your temple, what do you think he meant? He meant he will destroy your temple. She would not listen. And after the third visit, 5 years total went by, at about 21 or 22 years of age, the girl died with a heart attack. Young girl, all because she defiled her temple. Now, I'll give you a little bit of my thought on that. I think this girl was a daughter of the king. She really had accepted Jesus, and that she had was going the wrong direction. And because she was going the wrong direction, the Lord sent me 3 times in 5 years to tell her the truth. And so, since she wouldn't believe, so before she steps off the edge of the pit that's going to take her into the flames of hell, before she steps off of that, he kills her and brings her home. At least I hope that's what happened. Because if she had continued to do that, she's defiling her own temple with sexual immorality. And that the scripture says those that live like that shall not have any part in the kingdom of God. Is that what it said?
Yes.
So I hope I'm right there. I don't know that for sure, but I hope that that's what the case is. Because if I'm not right and she went the other way, then she went to hell for her sexual immorality and I'm wrong. But I think I'm right. I sure hope so. Wow. Okay, read a little more, see what's going on here.
What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
That's all that chapter? Okay. Okay, my prayer warriors, y'all stand up. If you need prayer today, these are the ones that you need to go to get prayer. Praise the Lord.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay. And if you need prayer, we're going to close with a word of prayer. If you want to give a donation to the ministry, the gray box is over there on the wall. And if you need prayer for anything, find one of these prayer warriors and line yourself up with them. And we will see if we can get you your prayer request taken care of. Father, I thank you and praise you and worship you for all these folks that you send out here that we can teach your word to. We can show them what you said in your word and how it works. And I thank you and praise you for the word and that it is true down to the last little letter. And Lord, thank you for revealing it to us and showing us how it works. We're so grateful that you're the King of Kings and you're our Lord and our God. And Lord, as the people come to whatever their requests are today, whatever they need, I ask you to meet that need, whatever, whether it be from selling a house or healing a car, healing a body or whatever it may be, meet every person's prayer request. And I thank you for blessing everybody here today. And Lord, as we go forth this week, we ask you to bless us all, give us a great week this week, and may great and wonderful things happen this week as we praise you and worship you and thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.